6. After testing my patience, searching for the loading zone entrance key, we were inside and jogging up the stairwell. It was dimly lit, and I doubted any of these well-off tenants used them often. By the time we made it to the 9th story, I was sweating under my suit and jacket. Marcus seemed unfazed by the workout.
"Getting too old for this, Prof?"
he asked, holding the door open for me. I huffed a bit and bumped him with my shoulder as I passed by.
"I'm fine."
"What are we going to do, break in?"
Marcus asked. The carpets were a dark green, old but well-maintained, and we walked by 5 suite doors before arriving at Hardy's, 917. I lifted a hand to knock but held back.
"What's the matter?
What are we even doing here?"
I asked.
"I should be at home working on my final exam study guide."
"Don't give up on me now, Rex. I had to break a date."
I peered at Marcus, and he stared back eagerly with his dark brown eyes, a smirk on his face.
He was right.
I knocked 3 times and let my arms dangle by my sides. No one answered. I went to knock again, and the door opened just enough for me to see a middle-aged woman through the crack.
"Can I help you?"
she asked with a Filipino accent.
"We're here to speak with Brian Hardy. He's won an award." "How did you get up here?"
she asked, glancing at Marcus. "Daryl said he wouldn't mind some visitors." She started to shut the door, and I acted quickly, shoving my foot in the jam.
"Please, we've come a long way. Just tell Hardy that Dirk Walker's kid is here to discuss the bridge."
She clearly had no idea what I was talking about, but nodded and opened the door wider. I didn't enter yet, and we waited for a lengthy 5 minutes while she was gone. The decor inside the foyer was dated but in pristine condition. There was a stack of papers near an umbrella stand and a long mat covering the oak floor.
"Mr. Hardy, we see you."
She seemed surprised by this.
"We're sorry for interrupting,"
Marcus told her, and she gave him a muted smile.
"Follow me."
The hallway was short, the walls empty and devoid of anything personal. We passed a clean but dated kitchen, and I saw the living room was tidy, with a little TV mounted on the wall. The furniture looked unused. There were 2 bedrooms, one with a cross on the door, and Hardy's aide led us to the master. She leaned toward me and whispered words of caution.
"He is having a good day, but it might not last. If he starts to lose focus, please come and tell me, and you'll have to leave."
I nodded as she opened the door. Everything changed. Gone were the neatly washed hardwood floors and the uncluttered living space. This was the room of a madman. Books were everywhere, numerous stacks of them behind a huge wooden desk.
"Whoa."
Marcus walked toward the hundreds of papers across the room, where clippings were taped, thumbtacked, and glued to the surface of the wall. Brian Hardy sat in a recliner, oxygen feeding through a tube into his nose. His left hand was clutching the arm of the chair, and his fingers twitched as I approached him. He was a skeletal man with only a few white wisps of hair remaining on his liver-spotted pate. His eyes could have been blue once, but they were so clouded with cataracts that I couldn't tell for sure.
"Hello, Mr. Hardy. I'm Rex Walker."
"I met you once. Did you know that?"
His voice was oddly deep, powerful despite his diminished frame. I sat on the bed, noting the mattress was rock hard. "I didn't. When was this?"
"You weren't much more than a baby. Your father and I were good friends."
My arms tingled at his words. "Do you know what happened to him?" I couldn't believe my mother hadn't mentioned Hardy before, or that his missing journals had been hidden so well I'd never found them.
"Who?"
he asked, his glance settling on Marcus. "My dad."
"Right. Dirk. He was a good man. Who's the kid?"
Hardy seemed cautious of the young black man reading his clippings.
"He's my research partner," I said.
Hardy nodded slowly.
"You look just like him."
"My dad?"
"Yep. Same nose, penetrating eyes. Have you found him yet?"
I froze. How could I find him?
The bridge.
Tell me about it, I said, my words so quiet I wasn't sure he'd heard at first.
They exist.
He lifted a scrawny arm, pointing upwards.
They're real. Everyone thought I was a lunatic, but I was right. Your dad saw that, too.
Aliens? Marcus asked, coming over to crouch near Hardy. You've seen them?
I don't need to see them, son. I gave everything I had to your father and that sidekick of his. They weren't supposed to leave without me.
His hand trembled and he set it in his lap. All I could hear was the beating of my own heart and the hiss of his oxygen tank. What did you give my dad? I asked, louder this time.
The signs were there. It just took solving the clues. I was always good at puzzles. Not so much anymore,
he grumbled, sending himself into a coughing fit. His aide came to the door, poking her head in, and he waved her away.
I'm fine, Phoebe.
She disappeared, and he glared at the hallway.
Damned woman. Thinks every little hiccup is the end. Wouldn't she like that? Probably rob me blind and vanish before I hit the floor.
Can we return to this puzzle you're speaking of? He wore a dress shirt, but the sleeve wasn't buttoned at the cuff. I spotted the matching tattoo on his skin, the same one I'd duplicated on my chest, in homage to my father. I motioned to it. What does it mean? He lifted his arm, glancing at the marking.
We were brothers. The four of us.
The four? I asked. Who? Dirk, Clayton, you, and who? He blinked quickly and his breathing grew more labored. Mr. Hardy, what is the bridge? He didn't answer and I peered at Marcus. Look for a journal, something that looks old. Marcus stood and Hardy disregarded the young man as he rifled through his stacks of books. What is the bridge? I asked, louder this time. He met my gaze, smiling widely.
I was supposed to go with them. Now look at me.
I needed to change tactics to uncover something valuable. Where did they go? Where did my father and Clay go in 1989 when they vanished?
Estrellas,
he said, pointing up to the ceiling. I didn't know Portuguese, but it sounded familiar. Can you be more specific? He started coughing again, his face turning bright red. I rose quickly, panicking, and Phoebe ran in, adjusting the dial on the machine. She wiped his mouth and turned to us.
Time for Mr. Hardy to get some rest.
I ignored her as she helped the old man to his bed. Hardy, where did they go? What is the bridge? Phoebe recoiled in fear, and Hardy only laughed gruffly as his head settled on the pillow.
Estrellas, don't you see, Dirk? You better not leave without me.
Marcus arrived, breaking my hypnotized state.
I found something.
His voice was quiet. I'm sorry, Phoebe. Maybe we can return when he's...
I don't think that's a good idea. Please go.
She spoke with authority, and I let Marcus lead me into the hallway. I was shaken by the whole experience. And Marcus paced the corridor, running his hands over his short black hair.
What the hell was that? He knows about the bridge, the tattoo. This is like some real-life mystery stuff right here.
What did you get? I asked, and he smiled again as he pulled a notebook from under his shirt. We returned to the stairwell, me clutching the book tightly as I tried to read the first page under the half-burnt-out light fixture. There was a drawing of the five stars with the streak between them. This is in my father's journal. Let's go to the hotel. We have some reading to do.
Where are they now?
A voice asked, and I pressed the stairwell exit open a smidge to see the doorman's big body standing by Hardy's suite. I left the keys on the stairs and ran. We made quick work of the steps, taking two or three at a time, and rushed through the exit into the alley, out of breath, a minute later. Marcus kept moving, turning to face me as he walked backwards.
That was awesome!
Remind me to go on these trips with you more often, Rex. Tires screeched as a black luxury sedan slid to a halt, nearly striking Marcus as he stepped into the middle of the back alley. He patted himself on the legs, then his chest, and moved toward me without saying a word. The tinted rear window slid down, revealing an older man in an expensive suit.
I was wondering when you'd show up. Hop in.
I groaned as I recognized his face.
Marcus, meet Hunter Madison, the billionaire.
Marcus was asked to occupy the front seat with the driver, and Hunter motioned me into the back passenger's side.
What are the odds?
I asked him, but of course he offered no reasoning to how he'd conveniently found us in an alley behind Brian Hardy's complex.
Mr. Walker, it's been a long time.
He stuck his hand out, but I ignored it. Cut the crap, Madison. I want to know what you're up to right this instant. I gave him my best stare down, but the gray-bearded man didn't flinch.
I want the same things as you, Mr. Walker.
Lavish cologne clung to the man like a cape, and I rolled my window down, feeling suffocated.
And what's that? The truth. You refused to accept my assistance before, but now I have something you're going to be interested in.
His green eyes crinkled as he showcased a veneered smile.
Come on, Marcus, that's our cue to leave. I tested the door, finding it locked. Driver, unlock the doors, we're going to the hotel.
I've taken the liberty of checking you out already. Your luggage is in the trunk.
He jabbed a thumb behind him. Before I could think, I had his collar firm in my grip.
What do you have? And don't play games.
I knew Hunter Madison had funded my father's ventures and that my mother had hated the man, and it was enough for me to blame him for Dad's disappearance. When I'd come knocking 20 years ago, he claimed to know nothing about it. Of course, a decade later, after I'd begun my own investigating, he'd found me, offering me money to continue the mission Dirk and Clay had begun. To the old man's credit, he remained calm as he lifted his hands in the air.
Mr. Walker, we're professionals. Let's act like it.
I released him, the fury burning away from me like gasoline with a flame. How could you even check us out? I heard someone shout, and I saw Daryl exiting the building, anger in his eyes. Before you answer that, drive. The car sped up, racing through the alley, and turned onto Central Park West, heading north.
I own the corporation that retains your little hotel. Nice spot. Very budget-friendly.
He wiggled his eyebrows as he made the dig. Driver, pull over, let us out. I tested the door handle again as he drove, but it remained locked.
Mr. Walker, all I ask is for a few hours of your time. You two can stay at my house for the night, and then make up your minds.
I noticed how he used the plural version, and Marcus craned his neck around from the front seat.
Rex, this could be our lead.
And you've been grasping at straws. If he knows something about this whole thing, we should talk to him. It's worth a shot,
Marcus told me.
I didn't see a way out, and I hated that Marcus was right. After hearing Hardy recall being part of my dad's team and the mysterious bridge, I had to know more. I'd never be able to return home and pretend this information hadn't found my ears. I owed it to my family and to myself to discover just what had happened to Dirk Walker.
Fine. But don't get any ideas, Madison. This is a conversation, not a contract. I know how your type operates.
He fixed his ruffled collar and jutted his hand out again. This time I relented and shook it.
Alberto, take us home.
Hunter Madison smiled as classical music softly played through the car's speakers. The conversation remained civil for the duration of the trip, but when Marcus or I asked the billionaire anything relating to my goals or his association with my father, he changed the subject, refusing to answer until we were in his study. I noticed him checking behind the car more than once and wondered if he had any issues with being tailed, or if it was a natural instinct to look over your shoulder when you were so wealthy.
Any stock tips?
Marcus asked as the car hit a freeway, the Manhattan Bridges far behind us. I had an idea where he was taking us, though I'd never been this far east on Long Island. Hunter Madison actually laughed and nodded.
Kid, You team up with me and you won't have to stay in my crappy hotels ever again.
I'm listening, Marcus said. Where are we going? I asked, slightly annoyed. We'd already been in the car for over an hour and I had to use the bathroom.
Take a guess, Madison said.
Marcus waited a second before answering.
East Hampton. You have one of the largest oceanfront properties in the area, not to mention that behemoth of a yacht in the marina. Do you think we could go for a ride?
I didn't know how he knew this, but since Marcus loved doing research, I was sure there was a lot of public information on the rich man accessible from online magazines alone.
Bingo! Mr. Walker, it seems you found a good one here.
I taught him in his local college before he was smart enough to realize there was no money in anthropology.
Isn't there? Madison asked.
I know all about you, Marcus Wells. Parents live in Sarasota, Florida. Dad works maintenance for the school division. Mom checks out books at the local library. You aced every test in your senior year. Scholarships to any institution, but given your slightly disappointing SAT scores, you ended up in Boston at Dr. Rex Walker's school. Stayed the full 4 years, despite having the grades to transfer elsewhere. You two must have really hit it off.
The car went silent. The only noise was the humming of the tires, treading down the interstate.
You're not the only one who does his research, I'm afraid.
Hunter stared at Marcus, and my sidekick started laughing.
Good one, Hunter. I think I'm going to like you.
I shook my head. Water off a duck's back with this kid.
He got part of it wrong, though, didn't he? I asked.
I'll say, Marcus laughed.
Hunter lifted an eyebrow, curious what he could possibly have overlooked.
What is it?
He finished his degree in 3 years. The fact that Hunter Madison had missed something was enough to make me feel like we were on even ground again. And I took solace in that fact as we veered off the highway, merging onto an exit. The driver slowed and the scent of the salty ocean hit my nostrils. We were close to the shore.
Rex, do you see the size of these places?
Marcus gawked at the mansions as we drove past the massive lots. Some were extremely private, with huge fences and trees lining the road. Others presented enormous pools and well-manicured lawns. All were far beyond any kind of wealth I could ever aspire to. Friends of yours? I asked Hunter, and he grinned.
I think you'll find that most of these people don't have friends, Rex. They have allies, business partners, and acquaintances, but rarely friends.
The billionaire lost his smile as he said this, and I wondered how true a statement it was. And you? Hunter didn't answer as the driver came to a stop a few houses down. I watched as the dark iron fence slowly swung inward, and a moment later, we were entering Madison's estate. We waited while the fence closed behind us, sealing us in, and the second it clicked shut, my heart pounded harder in my chest. There was a sense of finality to the action, as if my life had changed as the latch connected.
This is insane!
Marcus had his window open, and I appreciated his excitement, but wished he'd rein it in a little bit. Hunter didn't seem to mind. He just smiled as Marcus asked him about the house and its lineage.
This house was built in 1919 by an architect who intended on staying. His wife fell ill 5 years later, and when the market crashed in the 20s, he lost the home and his love in the same year. But in that tragedy, the next owner named the gardens after her, and I kept the dedication when I purchased it.
The car went past the most opulent flower garden I'd ever seen, and I noticed the sign. Lilies was painted in light green on an old white sign, likely restored many times over the years.
I've lived here for 30 years, on and off.
It had the charm of the region, with shutters and cedar shingles, but the sheer size of the mansion was off-putting. I couldn't imagine living somewhere like this, so far from anything and anyone.
If you ever need a house sitter,
Marcus climbed out of the car and I rolled my eyes at him.
What? I'm good for it.
The rounded driveway ran directly by the house's main entrance, and I glanced up the 3 steps,
past the two pillars that braced the awning over the front porch. Potted plants stood in perfect symmetry on either side of the stairs, and it was obvious that Hunter liked everything neat and in its place. It was something we had in common. "Come on in," Hunter waved at the car, dismissing Alberto, and he drove off, disappearing around the house. The door opened, and a man in a dark navy suit greeted his boss. His hair was slicked back, his expression grim.
"Gentlemen, this is Francois. If you need anything, just ask. Your bags will be brought to your rooms."
The front door closed, and I stared around the luxurious foyer, wondering what I'd gotten us into.